Good evening, everyone. I'm Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. This week, we are joined by the family of Opal Korn. Her mom, Sherry, is going to share her story from Georgia, and Tracy's going to interview them.
Today, we are here with Sherry and CDH survivor Opal. Would you guys like to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
We are from Northeast Georgia. And I'm Sherry, and this is Opal. Opal, would you like to say hi?
Hi, Opal. How old are you? Did she say five?
She said four.
Four. You're 4 years old. You're becoming a big girl. So tell me, Sherry, when were you guys diagnosed with CDH? Was it before your, during your pregnancy or at birth?
It was during pregnancy. We were diagnosed at 18 weeks. We were kind of surprised. Opal's an identical twin. So we were going to a specialist just to make sure that they were growing properly, and we weren't really expecting the diagnosis.
How did it feel to get that diagnosis that day? What went through your mind?
I mean, the first thing really went through our minds is we didn't know what it was. It was something that we had never heard of before. We were scared, and we felt very alone because we didn't really feel like we had anybody that we could talk to that really understood what we were going through at that time. Mm-hmm.
So after you were diagnosed with CDH, how did the pregnancy change from there concerning follow-ups?
So we were already seeing someone every 3 to 4 weeks just because we were high risk with the twin pregnancy. But it went from seeing someone every month to seeing someone every week or twice a week. And we were meeting with cardiologists and surgeons and people that were 2 hours from where we lived because no one close to us could handle her care.
So did you stay in Georgia for care, or did you guys relocate?
We did stay in Georgia for care. We ended up going to Atlanta. We delivered at Northside, and then she was moved to Eggleston at 3 days old.
Okay. How was the other twin? Was the other twin healthy?
For the most part, they were born at 31 weeks, so they were pretty premature. And the other twin, she was healthy in the NICU, and she came home, but then she developed necrotizing enterocolitis, which is death of bowel and stuff, and it's linked to prematurity. Mm-hmm.
So both your babies had to be in the NICU, and you, were they in the same NICU, or are you, they were in separate NICUs?
They were in separate NICUs. So they were at two different hospitals, and with traffic in Atlanta, most of the time, even though the hospitals were only a few miles apart, it would take about an hour between both hospitals with traffic.
Oh, so you guys did you have other kids at home at the time, or just the girls?
We had two older kids at home at the time as well.
You had to work around their schedules and routines and try to be with your babies.
Yes. If it wasn't for our family support, I don't think we could have made it through that time.
So tell me a little bit about the day that Opal and her twin arrived.
We went to Atlanta actually to meet with the doctor that was going to deliver them. I had not met him before that day, and I happened to go into labor while I was down there. They tried to stop the labor once I got there, but my water broke around Opal, so she was transverse breech. They went ahead and did a C-section at 5:24 in the morning.
Oh.
And she was She was very sick. She was one of the sickest babies they had ever had in that NICU.
Right. How big was she when she was born?
She was only a little over 4 pounds. So I think she weighed 4 pounds, 11 ounces. But by the time that she had had surgery, she was only 3 pounds.
Wow. Wow. So tell me a little bit about after the babies arrived. Did it take long for them to get her stabilized? What your journey was like? Were you able to recover from the C-section and be with her?
So during the first hour of recovery after the C-section, they worked on both of them, but Opal, she had a lot of trouble. She couldn't breathe with the ventilator. She needed an oscillator. She was maxed out on nitric, and she could not be touched. So for diaper changes or anything, her stats would drop, and she would get very, very sick, and she had to be bagged multiple times. I actually didn't get to see her for the first 12 hours after she was born. So most of that is related to me, my husband, and her doctors.
Mm-hmm. And when her twin arrived, they took her to the NICU as well?
They did. She needed a CPAP machine just because they were born early. I got lucky and went into preterm labor once before, so they had a steroid shot for their lungs.
Okay.
So I think that helped. No, not for you. I think the steroids helped their lungs develop what little bit they had.
Mm-hmm. So how long was it before they were able to do her CDH repair?
She had her CDH repair at 7 days old in the NICU bedside at Eggleston. She was transferred to Eggleston at 3 days old, and she was just really sick. She wasn't really stable at all. She came off the oscillator for a couple hours long enough to be transferred, but needed it back. So with the oscillator, they couldn't do the surgery in an OR, so they had to make an OR out of her room in the NICU.
Right. How did surgery go? Did they have to do a CDH patch, or did they just do sutures?
So they had to do a patch. She was missing all of her diaphragm on the left side and had very little on the right side.
Should they consider her more of a bilateral CDH case?
So it's still listed as a left-sided CDH, but they did consider it kind of bilateral because it was I don't know, it took up both sides of her chest cavity. Mm-hmm. She had all of her abdominal organs in there. She had kidney, spleen, liver, all of it was up. So she was really severe.
Right.
But we didn't know that she was that severe until she was born.
Wow. So was ECMO used at all during her care?
It was discussed multiple times, but she was too small for ECMO. And then after her surgery, she developed multiple blood clots, and they felt like it was unsafe for her at that point.
Mm-hmm. After her surgery, did she have many complications in the NICU? Did she have things arise that kept you guys backwards on your journey instead of forward?
Yes, she had the blood clots. Like I had said, there was multiple feeding issues. She ended up needing a G-tube placed at 3 months, and when it was placed, she developed a surgical infection.
Aww.
That ate a hole from her stomach to the outside of her belly, so she couldn't use the G-tube. So that kept us there longer. She was oxygen dependent the entire time, even after she came home. And she had multiple food allergies and just a lot of feeding issues.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first time you got to hold her in the NICU?
I do. She was 3 weeks old.
Oh.
And she had finally came off the oscillator after 3 weeks, and she was still on a ventilator, and it took three nurses to actually help us to get her onto my chest for me to hold her. I taped her ventilator tube to my shoulder so that way it wouldn't come out or anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's one of my favorite pictures, actually.
Oh, I bet. I bet. So what was the journey like with having your other daughter in the NICU? Did you split your time between the babies?
I tried to make sure that if we went to see one, that we saw the other one as well. I tried to make sure that we spent an equal amount of time with them. And then once her twin got to come home, I got it approved with the other hospital to bring her twin with us.
Oh, that was so special. They
got to be together for a couple weeks before her twin got put back into the hospital. But when she got put back into the hospital, I requested that she be put in the same hospital. Mm-hmm. So they were both at Eggleston, but on different floors. So I just went back and forth between the floors to spend time with them both, and I stayed with them while they were there.
Okay. Well, tell me what life has been like after you went home with Opal.
It's been kind of surreal, I think. I know she came home for about a week. When she left the NICU, she was there for 6 months, and she caught a cold. It was something simple, but it put her back into the hospital, into the PICU, back on a ventilator for a couple of weeks. And that first year, we would be home for maybe a week or two at the most, and then we'd be back in the hospital for a week or two at a time. Mm-hmm. And as she got older, that got a little bit better. She's had two pediatric pairs since then.
Two?
She still gets, yes. So she's had three total. And
wow.
She has had issues with her esophagus needing it to be dilated. She's actually supposed to have a dilation in a couple of weeks again, just to make sure that she can still eat properly the way she needs to. And this is the first year, knock on wood, that we haven't spent any time in the hospital yet. So
that's good.
We hope to not have to anymore.
Is she eating orally too and still through her G-tube?
Yes. So she does still use the G-tube at night. She does continuous feeds overnight to help with weight gain. And then she eats by mouth during the day.
That's good. Do you have any early intervention that helps with anything or concerns or?
So she has seen speech and feeding therapists since she left the NICU. And we've worked really closely with them multiple times a week. Yes, she loves therapy. It's one of her favorite parts of the week is getting to go to therapy. So she really enjoys it. She had two feeding tubes. She had a G-tube and a J-tube, two separately. Okay. And we were able to remove the J-tube last year. Yeah. And she's been able to come off the oxygen this year.
My tube is clean.
I know. Yeah.
Are you sharing your feeding tube?
She was trying.
You are a warrior, Opal. You are so strong. On her second and third CDH repairs, did they go in and have to use a different type of material, or are they still using Gore-Tex to repair that?
So her patch is made out of two different types of material. Part of it is Gore-Tex, and I cannot remember the other material they used for the other part of it. But the other part is supposed to be more like durable, but it doesn't grow. Okay. And the Gore-Tex kind of grows with her. But when she hits growth spurts every so often, she needs a new patch and needs scar tissue removed. And her time spent in the hospital after the surgeries has decreased with each one. So
that's good. That's very good. So how has life been with having both girls home and having two at the same age?
I enjoy it. They are really sweet when they're not together. they like to fight with each other. And I think that's all kids, I think. But twins especially, I think they're so much alike that they just kind of butt heads a little bit.
Yeah, they can. what's your sister's name?
You want to tell her name? I'll say Naomi.
Naomi, that's a pretty name too.
Thank you.
So if you were approached by a CDH family just starting out on this journey, what advice would you give them as a CDH parent?
I would just say to really like lean on your support system that you have, because it is a very long and difficult journey sometimes, and sometimes you really do need somebody that you can vent to kind of let it off of yourself a little bit, to give yourself a break from the worry and the stress and all of it.
Right, that is very good advice. Very good advice. Is there anything else you'd like to share about Opal and her journey with CDH?
Anything you want to share?
At four, does she recognize her scars? Does she see those and ask questions?
I think she's just kind of used to them. At this time, she doesn't really point them out anymore unless they hurt or bother her. She recognizes like feelings and stuff in her stomach now, and pain and stuff like that, and she'll point it out, but she doesn't really mess with the scars anymore like she did.
So her lung volume, is it, does she have a full set of lungs, have they said, or is they compromised?
So her left lung is still chronically collapsed on the lower lobe, but her right lung is fully expanded, and it's doing well.
That's good. That's very good. Did she have pulmonary hypertension? Did she have any complications from pulmonary hypertension?
She did. She was on multiple medications for pulmonary hypertension through her first year of life, and we were able to wean her off of the sildenafil and the heparin and Lovenox and stuff like that. And then she's still monitored every year for it, just to kind of make sure that it doesn't come back.
Right.
But so far, she's done really well since coming home.
That's good. So do you guys just have yearly checkups now, or do you go more than often than a year?
We go every 3 months still to see multiple people. She still sees everybody but cardiology. So we try to get her specialists all in one appointment. She'll see surgery, pulmonology, GI, and dietary at one visit, and then she'll see nephrology and endocrinology at another one usually.
Okay, she's got a full load of specialists that are following her and helping her stay healthy and grow.
Yeah, she does still have chronic high blood pressure now, and where her kidneys developed in her chest cavity, they are smaller than most people's kidneys, and she needs to see a nephrologist for that.
Have they said, is that connected to being born with CDH, or does she have something else going on?
We're not sure. She the arteries that go to our kidneys instead of one large artery like most people have. She has two small ones. Mm-hmm. And I think that had to do with how she developed with the CDH, but we're not sure it's directly related.
Right. So how is Naomi doing now? Is she doing well too?
She is doing well too. She had her when she was 8 months old and hasn't really had any issues since then.
Do the girls, are they about the same size with them both being born, or is Opal smaller than her twin?
Opal is about an inch shorter than her twin, and she weighs about 2 pounds less.
Okay. So she's doing pretty good then.
She is, yeah. They're both doing exceptionally well, considering.
That's wonderful. So will they start school in the fall, or will it be another year before they start school?
So they actually go now to pre-K. Okay. They go to two separate schools, but they go now. Well, is taking a break to wait on her next surgery just to prevent any respiratory illnesses that would make them difficult. But they started school this year.
So her next surgery is at the dilation of the esophagus?
It is, yeah. She has it done periodically every couple months or so, just to help with scar tissue, and she had a fundoplication to help with reflux after her CDH repair, just because she couldn't keep anything down at all, and all of the scar tissue from the multiple surgeries tends to make it tighter every so often.
Right. So is she on daily medication now?
She is. She takes medications for blood pressure, reflux, and lung medications as well. So she does breathing treatments and inhalers to help with bronchial malaise.
Mm-hmm. And with our environment right now and with COVID out there, do you guys worry a little bit about the girls and keeping them safe, or is it a concern there?
We do worry, and we have been very concerned about it, and we still ended up getting COVID twice. She actually just got over it this past week, but she was asymptomatic. She didn't have any symptoms from it.
That's great.
This time or last time.
That's great. Yeah. That's wonderful that she, you know, overcome it, COVID, without any complications.
Yes, we feel very lucky that that was the case. We were really concerned the entire time. We just were afraid with her lungs being underdeveloped and as sick as they were, we didn't want anything else that could cause issues for her.
Right. Opal's a warrior. She's going to overcome so much, it sounds like.
She is, I believe. She already has so much, and I feel like she's done so well. And we just hope that she continues to do that.
Yeah, she's an inspiration, that's for sure, to see her there with you and everything that she's gone through.
She is. We feel really blessed to have her as our daughter, and to be able to share her story for other families that would be going through it now or in the future as well.
Yeah, she's an inspiration for sure. Is there anything you'd like to add to the end of your interview today, Sherry?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, well, I do thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to share more about Opal and her journey with CDH, and we greatly appreciate you and spreading CDH awareness through Opal.
Thank you for allowing us to do so.
Oh, you are very welcome.
Thank you both so very much, ladies. We really appreciate your time. Tracy, as always, you do an amazing job interviewing families. And Sherry, we're so grateful that you're sharing Opal with us. I mean, what an amazing story, and what a little warrior she is. So thank you so much for raising awareness and sharing your journey. And if anyone else out there listening would like to share your story with CDH International, please go to www.cdhi.org/share-your-story, and we can share your journey on the CDH radio show, on our website, on our telethon, in our blogs, and all over social media, as well as press releases. We love to raise awareness, and you are welcome to use our organization as a platform to help us do so. I look forward to seeing everyone again next Tuesday. Have a wonderful week. Signing out, Dawn Ireland, CDH International, for the CDH Radio Show.